Joining me by phone right now is Fox News's Emily Campagno. She is the co-host of Outnumbered, and now she can add to her title, best-selling author. Emily wrote the book Under His Wings, How Faith on the Front Lines Has Protected American Troops. Emily, thanks so much for taking a moment to chat.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor. It was an honor to have written this book, frankly, to have served as a messenger for really what are extraordinary voices and extraordinary stories within. Thank you.
Emily, you're the daughter of a U.S. Navy commander. You've been surrounded by examples of courageous service. How did that impact your decision to write this book?
You know, interestingly, I think it was more my mother's genealogy and her role as the family historian that really, I realize now, solidified that environment where I grew up speaking this language. Because she knew the stories and we had the photographs and we had the records, my childhood home walls, you know, are adorned with history, with my family's history and at the same time, America's history. So, you know, when you open the book and you see in the end papers there and the hardcover, all of the service medals and awards, those are all my family's. And so I grew up having the honor of knowing my family's history of service going back generations and wars and conflicts all over the globe. And so to have that here in this book, you know, starting with my father and going back all of these generations on both sides, I mean, that's just been an incredible honor for me to give life and voice to the passions of my mom, of this painstaking endeavor she had gone through for so long. So, you know, one example, the Pearl Harbor story of my great-great cousin who was there on that day at Kaneohe Bay in Pearl Harbor, that was told, all of those recollections was told to my mom from his daughter who was 8 at the time and who was there. So, you know, these firsthand accounts are in the book. And my great-great-aunt Lou, who deployed for a year and a half in World War II, she was an anesthetist nurse with the U.S. Army Nurse Corps, and she wrote letters home, I think almost weekly, if not more, and my family saved them. We saved her photographs, so we have these painstaking details. And, you know, at the time, I think growing up, and perhaps this is a reflection of just youth, but I always thought that maybe a story had to be dramatic for it to be important or to be memorable. But in my opinion now, and I think you'll read in this book, there's no shortage of these dramatic moments, these deeply intimate experiences with God and faith on the front lines, you know, these special operators and warfighters and soldiers. But of my family, there's no shortage of those dramatic moments too. You know, my great-great-grandfather, who a shell exploded under him in France and he was in a coma for a month, and his wife was told she was a widow for an entire month because back then it was telegrams, you know, and he went to work, he survived and went to work at the POW camps because he spoke German. You know, he was removed from combat. Like all of those, you know, crazy dramatic stories are just as equal, that the other stories are just as equal to those as my great-great-aunt Lou describing, you know, sailing away from the New York Harbor at 2 a.m. and what that deployment was like and her first procedure being a leg amputation of a young soldier. I mean, you know, the details, the history. So all of that is reflected in this deeply rich, deeply honorable book.
What an important responsibility your mom took on to be the keeper of this history. And, you know, our brains are wired to learn through stories. I'm excited to check out some of these stories. I imagine, Emily, that one of the challenges for you was figuring out how to fit all of these stories in because there's no shortage of courageous heroes.
I love that you asked that because I definitely had some length issues. And, you know, we compromised by maintaining the breadth, and some perhaps might only be a mention. So, you know, some of those, like that story I just mentioned, I get it out in a caption. And we do, you know, we did have to edit out a lot of stuff, but I feel like how we compromised was editing out entire portions of stories rather than compromising details of the existing stories. So everyone's voice is in there and, you know, everyone is represented to a depth that, again, is uncompromising. And I felt it was better to know all of some of the story instead of just the highlights of an entire story. But certainly, like the stories that are profiled in here, I should say, are complete. It's like the service. You know, each of these pages and each of these anecdotes, even a sentence, could take up a whole book by itself. But I really think that the reader, I know, I mean, at least I did over and over again, like, you'll laugh and you'll cry. You know, you'll be inspired and you'll be heartwarmed, and you'll be heavy laden with grief and hope and inspiration and all of these things, because it really is a detailed, deep book.
And, you know, Emily, sometimes in the middle of trials, it can be really isolating and you can feel alone. And as I've looked into and read just little bits about this book, the feeling that I'm getting is that your book is a message that we're not alone. God is always with us. And that's a message, if we look at what's going on in this country, that is really needed right now.
Yes, and amen. I totally agree. And I think that's why, you know, or perhaps that's why this book shot to number one on the New York Times bestseller list on the day it debuted, because we are thirsty for that faith. We are thirsty to be slaked by faith, by God, to know that God is always with us, because he is. And you're right, that is the message in this book, which is that God is always with you. You are never alone. And importantly, though secondarily, we are never alone in our fellowship. And you'll read in many of these stories, as the warfighters either discover or relearn that God is always with them, that he has never left them. You know, these, again, deeply intimate, like I said before, personal experiences, many of which they have never shared with anyone. And I had that honor of them saying to me, you know, I've never said this out loud, but I will to you, and I trust you to carry this message accurately and adequately. And then many felt that they weren't emboldened to share that story or to share their faith in general amongst others. And certainly, as we talk about America being ready and all of us being so ready for faith and to have it be, you know, first and foremost in our lives, that I think we've come out of a chapter where it was pushed to the back burner socially and politically and in the sort of fabric of our day-to-day existence. And many people didn't feel comfortable to be bold in their faith, to declare their faith in Jesus Christ and their faith. And so I think with this, it hopefully will embolden others to do so, to again remind them, as you said, correct, they are never alone. God is always with them, but also they're never alone in fellowship. And there's always people around to encourage, to sharpen their iron, warfighters and home. And what the home front can represent too, that oftentimes wars don't always remain on the battlefield. You know, as soldiers return from war and their family sacrifices and serves too in different ways, what that looks like as they battle PTSD, as they battle catastrophic injuries and the effects of moral injury and the grief of ultimate sacrifice, what all of that looks like and how faith being first and foremost plays a part in processing and going through all of that.
I love that this is giving people some courage to be bold in their faith, because you're exactly right. We've kind of gone through this chapter where it's not really socially acceptable to be out front with your faith or your belief in God and Jesus Christ. And a lot of people walk on eggshells and keep that inside.